Hello, and welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register's podcast about Illinois politics and government. I'm SJR political writer Bernie Schoenberg, and with me, State House reporter Doug Finke. Doug, we finally saw the governor this week in Springfield. They had a little event, a couple of trucks, a nice sign for Rebuild Illinois outside the IDOT building off Dirksen Parkway, and they announced the proposed six-year road plan, including $23.5 billion in projects. And he only had to take one real bad question about, hey, is this all going to be on the square? Tell us a little about where our road plan is going and what it looks like.
Well, our road plan normally would be issued in April. That's when it normally comes out. But this year, of course, the focus was on getting an overall new capital plan for the state. And that included eventually raising the gasoline tax, doubling it to 38 cents a gallon. That was one of the reasons why the road plan has been delayed for several months, because we have this new influx of money. They can do more projects. And I think the governor said it was twice what it would have been without this gasoline tax increase.
Yeah, which took effect, what was that, July 1, I think?
Yeah. And there's no doubt the state needed that. They hadn't raised the gasoline tax in decades. So between that and more fuel-efficient vehicles, the state was falling behind and being able to pay for all the road repairs and other construction projects they need. So we have this extra money that's coming in, and now we have this rather significant road plan that's out there that will improve roads and put hundreds, thousands of people to work for several years.
One thing I noticed, and sometimes things like this work and sometimes things like this don't, there was a bipartisan show there. This shows, the governor's office clearly was reaching out to both sides. You had Tim Butler, Mike Murphy, Senator McClure, three Republicans from Springfield in the legislature here, as well as Democrats like Andy Menar and Sue Scheer representing the territory, all as part of the giant mix of people, plus road workers and construction worker types saying, this will help us. So the plan, this is one thing that the legislature has done, even though it's dominated by Democrats right now, in a bipartisan way, because these projects are going to be all over the state.
Projects are going to be all over the state. And there was recognition by lawmakers in both parties that this was long overdue. Something had to be done. It's been a decade since the last capital plan. The state was falling behind not only on roads but on building maintenance. We've, of course, had many instances of buildings at state fairgrounds that have had problems because they haven't been maintained over the years. So lawmakers of both parties recognized this had to be done. One of the Republicans who was there was Mike Murphy of Springfield. He voted for the bills and for the gasoline tax increase. And as he said, look, I wish it wasn't as much as they put in the bill. He would have preferred it be a smaller increase. But he said, I recognize the need that this had to be done. So that's why I supported it. Interestingly, there was at least one, and I suspect there's going to be more, lawmakers who voted against the gasoline tax increase, who nonetheless put out press releases extolling all these new road projects that they managed to bring back to their districts.
That was elsewhere in the state.
Yes. So there's going to be some self-dealing done on this thing.
Speaking of that, and with the Illinois reputation for problems with corruption, obviously only in the last several weeks, State Senator Martin Sandoval of Chicago, who had offices raided and is not charged with anything yet, but clearly is facing some potential legal problems. He stepped down as chairman of the Transportation Committee in the Senate. The governor was asked about how can you make sure that all of these giant contracts that are going to happen all over the state are going to be on the square. And Comptroller Susana Mendoza was also at this event, and she and the governor both talked about how they're going to be careful. And, is this obviously it seems like it's going to be a concern for people who have been conditioned to, with good reason or not, to dislike their state government over the last, because so many people bad talk Illinois. Do you think that the assurances from the governor and the comptroller are enough and will be necessary over a long period of time?
Well, I think they are. I did think it was interesting that Comptroller Mendoza was at this thing, because I've covered road plan unveilings for a long, long time. I don't remember Comptroller being ever included in this in the past. The reason she was, I think, is fairly clearly because she added some more weight to this whole notion that we're not going to be spending this money on insider jobs or wasting it. We're going to keep track of it, make sure it's spent the way it's supposed to be spent. So I do think it's going to that's going to be sufficient. I think I understand most lawmakers probably believe that these individual projects are not going to be tainted by whatever is happening with Senator Sandoval. I do know there's at least one Republican, Alan Skillicorn, who has used that whole investigation as justification to file a bill to repeal the gasoline tax increase. I don't know that there's any support for it outside of him and maybe his immediate family.
That's right. He's from up in the suburban area near Chicago. Indeed. On another issue, the governor put out a press release talking about, the headline on your story is state bill backlog could soar by 2025. And this turns into an argument from the governor's office that voters need to pass what they call the fair tax, the graduated income tax in Illinois, taking away the constitutional requirement through constitutional amendment on next year's November ballot that Illinois has to have a flat tax. So, you know, rich people can pay more and others can pay less. So the governor is using this to push that. Tell us about that.
Well, this is an interesting thing on the governor's part because this report is required by law. Governors, whether it's Pritzker or anyone else, has to put one out every year and analyze the budget picture, looking into the future at least 5 years, and saying, you know, this is what we see happening if nothing else happens, or we could avoid it by taking certain steps. So they put this report out and said that without additional revenue, without concerted cuts to the budget, some other possible fixes, the bill backlog could hit $19 billion by the end of the 2025 fiscal year.
Wow. And about $6 billion?
About six, thereabouts, right. And so that would be a significant increase. But again, the report said that this is assuming basically status quo. We don't increase taxes anymore. We don't make significant cuts to the budget. Those are ways to avoid this. The governor's office, however, used this report as basically a launching pad to say, see, yet again, we have to have the graduated income tax. And, you know, there are some people a little critical of that, saying basically he's mixing politics with policy.
Because you're not supposed to advocate certain votes.
Right.
By using public resources to do that.
Right. We'll see. We obviously know where the governor stands on the graduated income tax. We know he wants it. He's going to push really hard for it. This is probably in the end just going to be a blip in that whole campaign, but nonetheless, it's out there now.
And he is funding this outside group called Think Big Illinois, or at least it used to be that when they were advocating for the legislation, and it has perhaps morphed into another name, but he'll be funding clearly on the side this outside group that can run ads, and there are going to be ads pro and con that graduated income tax idea that we're going to be seeing a lot.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, veto session starts next week, 3 days next week. Any particular things to look for? I know that Chicago wants the legislature to move some stuff for flexibility so they can Mayor Lori Lightfoot up there has more than an $800 million hole in the city budget, and they want to do things like get some higher real estate taxes on certain kinds of properties, but they're going to have to get votes in the legislature to allow that. We don't know if that's going to happen, and there's something about vaping. So what are we looking for?
On the Chicago stuff, whenever the city comes to the General Assembly, you pretty much immediately put people into two camps, those who want to help out the city and those who I'm not going to help out Chicago under any means whatsoever. So we have yet to see how the votes on the city's request for that, and also to change the gambling expansion bill that just passed in last spring. There seems to be very little support for doing what the city wants on that, because you reopen a gambling bill that opens a gigantic can of worms, because everybody then wants their own
right
piece of the action.
And the city of Chicago said that the tax was way too high on the way it
So they want to redo this tax structure or ownership provisions, whatever it would take to satisfy them. The vaping issue, it's actually a flavored tobacco product that are vaped that a bill would ban those in the state. This was done mainly in response to the cases that got a lot of notoriety over the summer of people who were vaping and got very ill from the practice.
And there were some deaths across the country.
There were some deaths. They made the connection. Some people made the connection that this was caused by kids using these flavored products. I think in a lot of cases, it was actually traced to THC being part of this product, and that was what was making them sick. Nonetheless, out of this grew this bill to ban flavored products. The vaping industry does not want an outright ban. We have had adult ex-smokers come forward saying that they got off combustible tobacco, as it's called, because of vaping products. They like the flavored products. They don't want to see them banned.
Plus, there's all these businesses all over the state selling these products, right, and their shelves are full of them.
Right. So the bill to ban these flavored products is up for a hearing on Monday afternoon, so we'll see what happens with that. We've also got possible consolidation of downstate police and fire pensions is brewing, and as we know from any kind of veto session, it's not limited to veto, so who knows in the end what kind of other issues the leaders will decide to tackle.
Well, yeah, pretty big agenda. If any or all of it gets passed, that would be pretty odd for some of those big things to go through in 6 days of session, but we'll see how it goes. I should mention President Trump is not coming to Springfield, but is planning to come to Chicago. I believe it's Monday. He's supposed to talk to a police organization. Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent of Chicago, says he won't go because he doesn't like Trump's negative talk about new citizens or new residents of the country, as well as the city of Chicago, which has been kind of a punching bag for the president ever since he started running. So there could be some significant controversy coming out of Chicago. Not that President Trump ever generates controversy, but during the campaign of 16, he had an event that was scheduled to be at the Pavilion at the University of Illinois of Chicago, and it ended up getting canceled because there were so many demonstrations. So I'm not sure how things will go in Chicago, but it could be a busy day up there next week.
And I'm glad it's up there and not down here.
And you and I can probably share that, although we should like news, but let's watch from afar and see what happens. And then there's another issue, the continuing battle of saying Illinois is not necessarily great is now being carried on by the state of Kentucky. I think that's one of the states where former Governor Hunter didn't ask their governor at the time to do an ad saying how bad Illinois was, but Kentucky has billboards running in southern Illinois saying Illinois, I-L-L, has an ill tax system, think Kentucky. And I just, getting people to move there. You know, Illinois has had some positive things happen. You know, the Rivian plant, the old Mitsubishi plant in Normal, it's going to have big production and has more than $1 billion in funding. On the other hand, a lot of people are still, the stories about people leaving Illinois continue, and this is one of them. So I don't know what the governor or others can do to say Illinois is great, but others keep saying Illinois is not.
Well, I would just suggest to people who are planning to move, look at the big picture on something. I'm not sure it's very wise to base a decision to uproot your family and move to another state based on the fact you think you're going to get a smaller tax rate or whatever it may be. I know there was a Chicago Tribune columnist who wrote a big column about how he's pulling up roots and leaving.
Yes, Dennis Byrne, who has been complaining about Illinois for a number of decades.
And a former colleague of ours tweeted about that, saying, "What a surprise, an old man wants to move to Florida for warmer weather." So there you go.
There are many ways to look at things. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Under the Dome. We'll be back next week with more on the latest in Illinois government. Until then, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify. I'm Bernie Schoenberg, and for Doug Finke, thanks for listening.